Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The one thing people are opinionated about, how to behave at the grocery store.
Well, everybody does it. It's something we all have to be a part of. Yeah, I get it. We all have opinions about it.
Raven is going to be off for about a week and a half. He's recovering from surgery. So my friend Chef Plum is going to be sitting in while he's gone. So what are your rules? If you could implement a rule at the grocery store that across the country, everybody just abides by it, what would it be?
It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yes. 1-800-330-9999. Angela, how are you going to make grocery stores better?
I think there should be a 30-second timer for small talk once you're getting ready to get checked out.
Oof.
I need the person who's ringing me up to pay attention to not make mistakes, accidentally ringing me up for an extra item and then having to wait for the manager to come and delete it. Some people just can't do two things at once. So a 30-second check clock, and that's it.
There's a woman that bags at my local grocery store, and I love her, but she is the queen of small talk. She's quirky and I like it, you know? Okay. So last time I was there, I was checking out and I was like, hi, how are you today? And she's like, oh, I'm good. She's like, what color were your bridesmaid dresses when you got married?
What?
I was so random. And I was like,
what?
Funny you should ask. They were a bronze color. I go, looking back on it, I'm like, I still love that color. And she was like, can I see a picture? And I'm like, give me a minute.
Can I see a picture?
Now, can you imagine the line of people behind me?
I was just thinking.
As I'm just scrolling looking for it.
Do you know, as a private chef who I shop professionally for a living, when I go to my client's house, if I had to wait for you in front of me, I would be losing my mind. You might get some frozen French fries to the back of the head.
Listen, she asked to see bridesmaid dresses from 20 years ago, and I got to pull it up on my phone and show it to her.
I mean, honestly, though, what kind of grocery store do you go to?
It's like a regular one. The regular one. All right, Gary, how about you? What would be your grocery store rule to implement here in the United States?
If you're not a food delivery service worker, you need to check your cell phone in at the door.
I don't think I understand.
Well, here's the reason why I say that. When you go into the grocery stores, right, they have like the DoorDash and the Uber Eats people there, and they're using their phones to scan items. But a lot of people, they'll come in and be on their phone and they'll just be standing right in the aisle.
I think that we should implement a very similar system that we have to driving cars in grocery stores. Like one direction in the aisle goes one way, one goes the other. We have stoplights, we have stop signs at the end of the aisles. Like there's a whole situation here, because nothing makes me crazier than when I'm going down an aisle and there's some human being standing there. Maybe they're a little too, you know, short, can't reach something. They got their cart in the middle. They may even turn it like vertically so it blocks. I get so angry. And then they ask me to help them.
Oh, God forbid you help somebody.
I don't mind helping. I mean,
you're like 17 feet tall.
But I'm like, maybe you should not have your cart sitting perpendicular in the aisle so no one else can get by while I wait for you to grab your top ramen noodles.
I pull over. So I pull up.
Yes, exactly.
If I have some, like my phone is ringing or there's an email from a boss or somebody and I have to respond right away, and that's just how my life is, I will pull over to a corner where I am nobody's way, and I'll just like quickly go in the corner, and I'm always so embarrassed by it. I don't know why I'm so embarrassed to use my phone in a grocery store. Susie, what would be your grocery store rule that you want to implement?
I think if somebody has less than 5 items, that they should be able to jump in front of people with full carts in line. I feel like that should just be automatic courtesy.
Like what's the thing you have at Disney World when you can like sign up ahead of time and just check out or get to the speed pass, easy pass, what do they call that?
Like a fast pass.
A fast pass, exactly. At the grocery store. Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
You have to pay premium if you want a fast pass at the grocery store.
I don't mind. I pay a little extra to get out there faster.
All right. You can add that to your monthly expenses. That and Hulu. I can't believe part of your job is they just send you to Morocco. It's so weird, right?
Well, it wasn't just sent to Morocco. I was a guest chef on this cruise line called Atlas Voyages. It was so fun. And Morocco was our first destination.
So Chef Plum is in for Raven. Raven is recovering. He had surgery. He is doing well. Everything is good. We are all happy. I'll check in with him, of course, over the next week and a half while he's out. And Chef Plum has been kind enough to come sit in with me.
Of course. Anytime I can hang out with you.
Yeah. You know, you're a good friend and I always appreciate it. And I want you to know that it's not easy to get up and come here and do this every day when it's not your real job. job, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, maybe a paycheck would help, but maybe one day. We'll figure that part of it out.
Listen, the government shutdown's over now, so you never know. Maybe. So we were talking about this, and here's the fun part about Chef Plum being in is that he's a chef, right? So Thanksgiving is coming up. Any questions you have about food having to do with Thanksgiving or having to do with really anything, you can call whenever you want, literally whenever you want for the next week and a half while the show's on. It's 1-800-330-9999. And on the air, off the air, he will take your questions and help you out. It's kind of like having your own butterball turkey line, whatever it's called.
I mean, I feel like when you call me a you're calling me a butterball there. It felt weird, but you know, I do fancy myself good at that. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm pretty good at answering questions.
You're really good. So, and right. And you can basically make food out of anything and you know how to fix everything. So that's great. But so Plum says to me, he's like, you want to go to Morocco? And I said, no. And he said, remember, you were like, do you want to do this cruise? He's like, they're paying me to go on this cruise where I'm going to be the celebrity chef. And I said, where are you going? You said Morocco. I go, I don't even go to, in all honesty, I'm not into all the spices. And I said to Plum, I go, I don't even go to Morocco when I go to Epcot at Disney World.
Like, that's hilarious.
I walk through, I look how beautiful it is, and then I keep walking. But so what is it? Because I know the Moroccan food is so incredibly different than ours.
Very different. Well, first of all, I've never been to Morocco. I went to Casablanca, Agadir, and Safi, and I never picture, in my brain, I picture it like the first Rio movie with the birds.
You know?
That's why it's not.
Oh.
At all. It's a lot more sand.
There's not magical birds flying everywhere?
No, but I just pictured birds and people having a party. No, that wasn't what it was. But amazing spices and seasonings, a lot of outdoor markets. So at one point in time on our cruise, I had to take a group of people on the cruise to a market, like an outdoor market.
Mm-hmm.
And we go in, and this one gentleman is there, and you know, he sees us and he's like, ooh, he's showing us spices and whatnot. And they're very proud of their spices. But he ends up bringing us into his like kiosk area. We sit down. There's about 15, 20 of us. We sit down and he just starts breaking out spices for us to smell and taste. And he's burning incense and like, it's like mumbling incantations and then showing us more spices. And it was insane. But, you know, Ross,
are you responsible for these people's safety? I hope not.
Me and one other chef, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you guys are well qualified to do that.
And Jeff was with me, too. My personal life partner, Jeffy, you know, whatever you want to call him.
It's your best friend. Go ahead.
But one of the spices was called Ras Al Harout, which is a mixture, and it's orange, and it's so, like, vibrant, bright. It has a lot of turmeric in it and ginger in it, and the flavor profile is unbelievable. A little bit of heat, more like just, you know, unctuousness. Is that a word I can use? Like, just,
I don't know.
It's very like middle palate, but the flavor is just unbelievable. You don't even have to put a bunch of salt in it. It's crazy.
How much,
these flavors.
Do they try to sell you? Like, how much?
Absolutely.
Is so how much does it cost to buy umbunctuous things to bring home?
This is a lot of math because they use a money called a dirham.
Okay.
And 1,000 dirham equals like one American dollar. So it's a lot of math, and you can't use dirham anywhere else in the world, just there,
okay.
Which is hilarious. So, I couldn't do the math, but it wasn't very expensive. So
you have no idea. You have no idea how much it actually costs.
So it was like I spent like $3 when I bought it. I bought like a giant bag of spices. And
that
like
seems like a good deal. Yes or no? Are you ever going back to Morocco?
Probably not.
That's what I thought. And just like that, the longest government shutdown is over.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Trending is brought to you by AT&T, a network that is making connections for Americans. Connecting changes everything. Learn more at att.com.
In this vote, the yeas are 222, the nays are 209. The bill is passed. The motion is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
I like when they use the gavel. Seems like legit, right?
It seems like very important then when the gavel hits the ground, doesn't it?
It's true. So this was a mess. Let's all be honest. It was a complete mess. Everything happening at the airports. And I was flying this weekend.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster at the airports I was. Even though I was lucky enough to be one of those few people that wasn't delayed or canceled.
But you were feeling it, like the busyness
because
of less people
there
working.
There were so many people there. Everybody was angry. The lines were so long. You looked up at the screens and there was so many canceled and delayed. And I was like, oh my gosh. The guy next to me, Plum, he was a physician.
Right.
And he had to get home to his patients because he had all these appointments. So he was renting a car on the phone frantically to drive across six states to get home.
Oh my gosh, what
I
a
know.
Mess.
Yeah.
And it's an honor now to sign this incredible bill and get our country working again. Thank you.
When I was in line going through TSA, I was eavesdropping. I shouldn't say I was eavesdropping because like they were talking and I was going through security, so I was just listening to what they were talking about, right? And we'll get to that in a second. Do you show up for work if you're not getting paid?
But don't get me started on this whole thing. You're going to fire me all up. Get our incredible country working again. Hey, the rest of us have all been working still, because if we don't work, guess what? Mm-hmm. We didn't have a job.
So I was listening to them talk, and one said to the other, but they take more taxes out when we get our big paycheck, the back pay. And I thought,
Come on.
That can't be real.
Seriously.
I go, you get your back pay, and you get whatever raise or extra that you get for showing up this whole time, which is well-deserved, in my opinion, absolutely. And they're going to take more taxes out? So I was like, I can't wait to get out of this line to go Google it. So I did. I went to my best friend, ChatGPT, that answers all my questions.
Ah, sure.
And it says, government workers don't pay a higher tax rate just because it's back pay, but the timing of when the money is paid can make it feel like more taxes are being taken out. So I guess it's like when you get a bonus in your check, and it's all of a sudden you feel like, where did the rest of it go? It just feels like it's more because it's more taken out.
But isn't it more money, too, taking out of your taxes out of your check if the check itself is bigger than it normally is? Like,
well,
it's more money that comes out of it.
Yeah.
Like, and the math doesn't even up quite, you know?
And it says it bumps you into a higher tax bracket temporarily, but then it all kind of evens out in the end. So I was happy to hear that. I'm like, all right, well, that's good, because I felt really bad. I'm like, they're going to have to pay more taxes, too? Haven't they been through enough?
I guarantee they don't think it evens out in the end.
Right. But do you show up for work? Because, you know, that was a long time. That was a long time for the government shutdown. And do you still show up every single day? Because I was looking at everybody, and everybody was pleasant. They were happy. They were doing their jobs. And I thought, I don't know if I would be that pleasant or that happy.
I mean, I guess at a point, like, you know, you understand as a government job, these things can happen, I guess. So you take it to it. But it comes to a point where eventually, like, listen, it's been 30 days. I'm not going back to work. This is crazy talk. I haven't been paid.
Well, if you can go take a side hustle and make that extra cash that you need immediately to support your family, I could understand why you're calling out sick, too.
Sure.
But here's the good news. It's over. Until next time. Let's hope there's no next time. Let's hope. And good stuff today. 57,000 injuries happen on Thanksgiving Day. That's a lot.
That is a lot, but I think I feel like it was going to be more.
Really?
I don't know. I feel like how many people make turkeys? Like, it's got to be more than 57,000 turkeys being made, right?
I would think so.
I mean, it just seems like it'd be a lot more injuries.
Oh, wait a minute. No, you're right. You're right. 57,000 traffic accidents.
Ah.
But 350,000 Thanksgiving Day itself having to do with the food and the things that happen within your home.
Makes way more sense now to me. That seems to make a lot more sense.
I thought 57,000 sounded like a lot, but also on the roads, that's, you know, we got to take it easy.
But you got to figure, how many people think, like, you know what, it's Thanksgiving, I make the best turkey, but they don't cook every day of their life. They don't, I don't know. It just makes a lot of sense to me.
ER doctors put a list together, Plum, of the top 5 injuries and illnesses that we see on Thanksgiving.
I love this.
Okay, number one. Cuts and lacerations.
That makes sense. You're cutting, carving, electric knives.
You're not used to it, right?
And most people's knives aren't sharp. They're dull. And a dull knife is more dangerous than a sharp knife.
I have no idea the last time I sharpened my knives.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know if I ever have. I have no clue.
Do you put them in the dishwasher?
Yeah. That's how you wash them.
Anna, stop it.
That's how you wash your knives. how many times as a chef have you cut your fingers off?
Cut them off?
Well, I mean, you know. Hurt them.
I've had my fair share of stitches, that's for sure. A lot. I have one on my hand right now. You can see right there.
Oh,
right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where the knife just kind of, the heel of the knife hit me in the top part of my knuckle.
Okay.
As I was cutting. But I was too fast and careless. I deserved it.
All right. The number two top injuries you see on Thanksgiving.
I got to guess. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Burns.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They says a lot of burns, and the infamous turkey fryer is the most common source of it.
Yeah, it really is. And if you want to fry a turkey, you can call me and ask me. I'll tell you how to do it. And it's really, really simple. And it's not as hard as people make it out to be. But, you know, listen, it's hot. It's going to burn you. You're in an oven. It's you got a lot going on. You know, it happens.
Burns are often found on the face, hands, forearms, and even feet due to dropped food and sauces.
Okay, wait. The face and the feet are really throwing me. How do you get your face burned?
I don't know. I guess if you put your face over the turkey fryer, maybe that's how it happens.
All right. Okay. But if that's the case, you probably deserve to get your face burned.
All right. Number three, top 5 injuries.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Okay. So we have cuts. We have burns.
Yep.
Mental illness.
No, but that should be on this list. Their head injuries is on it, but I don't think it's the same as mental illness. So head trauma falls also common around the holidays. And that's really, in all seriousness, is taking care of the elderly that are coming to visit your home. Make sure that spaces are cleared. You know, they fall.
I just love how we're in different places in our lives. My first thought was, well, people are having libations. It makes sense.
Uncle Tom had 3 margaritas
of course.
And he fell, right? Orthopedic injuries is on this list too, and that's from the family football games.
Oh, like hips and backs.
Yes.
And shoulders. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like when all the family goes outside to play sports, family football day, and then grandpa wants to play too, and there's overzealous cousins, and somebody takes him down.
Or that one uncle when you were a kid who had beat you up on the football field, and now you're bigger than him.
Uncle Mike.
Let's go, Uncle Mike.
Uncle Mike.
You and me, Uncle Mike. Here we go.
I remember like walking to the local schools right down the street from their house and playing football. And I remember being a chubby little kid being like, I don't want to do this, Mommy. I don't want to do this.
You played football?
Well, like on Thanksgiving when all the cousins, I'm one of like 36 first cousins. That's, if everybody's playing, you have to play.
What position did you play?
I don't play a position. I play hiding. All right, what do you think is the last one? Because this is the one I think is most frequent.
Okay, so the most frequent, I'm going to have to say it's probably going to be...
It's your favorite word, your favorite phrase.
My favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, now I don't even know.
Stomach woes.
Sour tummy.
Sour tummy.
Yeah, well, listen, it happens because a lot of people don't know. You know, they overeat or they leave their food out too long. Or yeah, listen, hey, time and temperature are the enemy when it comes to food, and Thanksgiving holidays are definitely up there for that.
It's a real problem, and now we have a solution. Seagulls attacking your food and trying to get it.
This is for real.
This is a for real thing. So yesterday, this was all over the news, and I thought it was a joke at first, and then I realized it must be a slow news day, even though government shutdown stuff was happening.
I thought you were kidding. When you brought this up, I thought you were telling me a joke, and we're actually going to do this on the radio right now.
Yep.
New research has shown that shouting at seagulls does actually make them more likely to leave your food alone.
Yep, shouting at seagulls is going to make them leave your food alone. And when you don't really understand what you're talking about.
A team from the University of Exeter brought a box of chips to the seaside. And when a pesky seagull came along, they played different sounds, including a male voice saying, "No, stay away, that's my food." Nearly half flew away in a minute.
Yeah, hold on, what did they say?
"No, stay away, that's my food."
Yeah. So you have to shout at seagulls instead of, I don't know, who whispers to a seagull to get away from your area?
If you shout at anybody to stay away from your food, they're probably going to stay away from it. And by the way, that voice that she used, I feel like that was you. I feel like you recorded that.
Right?
"No, stay away.
Yeah.
Stay away from my food."
And if you thought it was just British people that were reporting on this, nope.
If a seagull tries to steal your pizza, don't talk like this. Instead, yell, "Get away from my food!" A new study says the seagulls will walk away from a speaking voice, but fly away from a shouting voice.
I don't think she realized no one talks like this.
It's amazing. It's amazing that we have to tell people that you have to yell at the seagulls to go away and not just whisper to them or talk to them in a normal voice. Who's reasoning with the seagull that's going in and swooping in for your sandwich?
I mean, if this is such a big problem, I can't imagine people in Nebraska are having a problem with seagulls right now.
All right, so I looked around and I picked some of the animals that are most likely to attack, like the seagulls, and I looked up, what are you supposed to do when you're being attacked by this animal? All right, bears, what do you think if it's a black bear?
They used to always say lay down and play dead. I think that's a terrible idea.
No, that is the absolute wrong thing to do. If you lay down and play dead to a black bear, it will eat your face.
Yeah.
A black bear, you have to punch in the nose, throw objects, and make yourself look bigger and fight back. A brown bear, you have to play dead. You can't mix them up. Otherwise, your life is over.
I mean, who came up? How did we figure this out?
No, that's real. We've had experts from major zoos across the country come on the air and tell us the exact same thing.
Okay.
Brown bear, play dead. Black bear, fight back.
Okay.
I feel like everybody has to put that in their iPhone notes.
Let me look at my notes. Hang on. What kind of bear is this? Hang on, bear. Let me see.
Snake. If a snake attacks, what do you do?
I mean, you move.
You freeze and slowly back away. Freeze and slowly back away.
After the attack? Because by the time a snake attacks, like, you didn't notice it, I promise you.
Well,
okay.
You see one. Freeze.
Don't use logic.
And slowly back away. Sharks. Everybody knows to do what if you're being attacked by a shark, right?
Oh, easy. Crane kick, like from Karate Kid 1. Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to punch it in its nose.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. And it says to get out of the water slowly and smoothly because splashing triggers curiosity.
Okay.
I have to be honest. I don't know. If I'm swimming next to a shark, I'll try my best, but I don't know if I can slowly get out of the water.
If there's a shark, there's nothing slow. Nothing slow if there's a shark.
Now, let's do one last one. Alligator attacks. So if an alligator or a crocodile attacks, what do you do?
Alligator attacks. I'm going to find someone else and put them in front of me.
Okay, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to fight hard. And one of the myths is that you're supposed to zigzag, like try to like get it confused.
Oh, yeah, run like a Z pattern.
Yeah, and that's not true at all. You're supposed to just go straight back as much as you can. And when all else fails, Plum.
No, stay away. That's my food.
Right.
It's time for Student Teacher with Anna and Raven. Get ready to learn.
Student Teacher, my second grader, Chef Plum, every week has to go to school, and it's not show and tell. They have to teach the class about something.
The student does.
Right.
Okay.
And I thought, what a great idea, because as adults, we should all be lifelong learners. So now, producer Justin, who's the smartest person on this team,
comes in
every week, and he teaches us about something. What are we learning about today, Justin?
Economics today.
Oh, right.
Ooh. Today, we are talking about the penny. As you may or may not know, yesterday was the last day of production of the penny from the U.S. Mint.
And it's because it costs too much now to make, right?
It costs at least double the value of the penny itself to produce each and every penny. But that cost is offset by all the other coins they make. But they've decided they're going to save the $56 million a year to create them.
Wait, so are pennies going to be worth money now?
I asked like somebody that, and they told me, no, that's not
it's
a real thing because it was mass produced. Because I thought about it. I'm like, I have pennies. I'm going to hold on to them.
Yeah.
But they said, literally, it means nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
The penny was the first type of money that the newly formed United States ever made. In 1909, Abraham Lincoln became the very first president to be featured on a United States coin.
Justin, why did you pick somebody that sounded like they were talking to us like we're an idiot?
Honestly.
I was trying to find someone who would make me sound even that much smarter, I guess.
All right. Well done.
Yep. So, Benjamin Franklin designed the first penny, and it wasn't until 1909 when Abraham Lincoln was going to be celebrating his 100th birthday that put him on the penny as the first person to be featured on a penny, the first president. The problem with the penny is that no one's been using them. The Treasury Department says there are 300 billion pennies in circulation, but if you factor that into each and every American, that's about $9, and no one spends them anymore. So we decided to go around and find out who's got pennies and who's spending them.
So Justin went around to the office squad.
Have you heard that yesterday was the last day of official penny production in the United States?
No, I have not. I know they were talking about it, but as of yesterday, no more pennies.
No more pennies.
I have a lot of pennies I saved at home. I'm going to keep them.
How much would you estimate you would have in that penny jar?
I bet 40, 50 bucks.
Not
that's
bad.
A lot of pennies. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of pennies.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a big jar.
That's heavy, yeah.
What do you keep your change in? Plum, go.
We have a big, what do we have? It's like a jar and then, or the couch.
Oh, the couch is where you keep it. I have a, I bought it at Marshall's for $5.99, which is probably the amount I have in there after 20 years. And it says the Adventure Fund. And we put all our change in there. And we haven't had very many adventures with the change that we've saved.
But I have a big question about this. So is this going to change everything about how things are priced in a store? Like, what if something is like, you know, $5.06? How do we pay for that now?
There have been a lot of conversations about rounding up or rounding down to match the prices for it.
No one's going to round down.
A spokesman for a large convenience store says that they've been rounding down every cash transaction to the nearest nickel, but it's expected to cost the company about $3 million this year after all those transactions add up.
Well, as long as the company is absorbing it and I'm not.
Do you have a penny jar at home?
I do not. No, I put them in the little tray for other people to take should they need them because I give. I need to feel good about myself. So here's a penny. I don't know what that's going to do for you, but I walk away feeling better.
Right. What are you going to do with all those take a penny, leave a penny things that you see at the bodegas?
Like all your goodwill is now gone because you can't do it anymore.
Do you have a penny jar or a sock drawer or a big collection of pennies somewhere?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. I have a few. I have a like cup holder in my car.
Yeah.
I have a cup on my desk. Maybe $10. Maybe. That's still a lot of pennies.
Still a lot of pennies.
But not that much.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do math very well, but I can tell you he doesn't have $10 of pennies on his desk. That's like that's 1,000. No.
Did you say 1,000?
It's a lot of pennies.
$10 is a lot of pennies.
10,000 pennies.
It's 1,000 pennies.
Oh, right. He doesn't have 1,000 pennies.
I can math.
On average, your children ask you 42 questions every single day. Doesn't that seem like a massive amount of questions? Even as a mom of a 6-year-old and a 16-year-old, like that seems like a lot.
Believe it or not, when they go to college, it even gets worse.
I'm sure. So my girls are 6 and 16. Actually, my little one, Dakota, if she's listening, tomorrow's her birthday. So happy birthday, baby. She's going to be 7.
Happy birthday.
6, 7. I know.
Hey.
Today she's 6. Tomorrow she's 7. But yesterday, after I read this stat, I went home. Now, this is after I got home. And every time she asked a question, I just asked her to repeat it real quick.
Can I have a muffin?
Can I have a muffin? Can I have a muffin? Which is a typical question.
What did you just say, honey?
Can I have some chocolate milk, please?
I've realized that when it comes to Dakota, 90% of her questions have to do with food and drink.
She said please, though. That was very nice.
Okay, right, yeah. What did you just ask me?
Can you come to the bathroom?
Guys, I have a question. Why do I always have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, why? What is
she
with
calls
that?
Me all the time. She wants to, like, show off her work. She wants to... She wants to, like, I don't want to get too graphic into it, but I'm constantly in the bathroom.
Okay.
What did you say?
Do I have to brush my teeth tonight?
Yes, you have to brush your teeth. You have to brush your teeth every night. You can ask me that every single day for the rest of your life, and I'm always going to say yes, you have to brush your teeth.
You just should say no once and see what happens.
But no, you can skip tonight. You can skip.
You have to.
I'll be completely honest, there's some nights if we get home really late and she's really tired, yeah. I just tell her she's fine, go to bed.
I would say, Dakota, you don't have to brush your teeth tonight,
but tomorrow you might
have to get a shot in your mouth because you have to go to the dentist and you have a cavity.
No, that's not
so
nice.
You can pick which one you want.
Okay. You know, your children are older, and I'm curious if the questions you get, and do you still get up to 42 every single day, Plum?
We get lots of questions, and particularly now since my daughters are in college, I get more questions than ever. Yesterday, my daughter Lily sent a text to my wife and I, just says, do you think that the giant parking lot here on campus, like, does parking spots, like, year round? Like, I could get one year round. And my wife is entertaining this and going back and forth with her. And I just answered, I think you need a car first, don't
you? Right. Does she need a car? Well, I mean, that's going to be the next question.
Well, I have a car, but I made very clear to them, like, the car they had in high school, I said, this is definitely my car. You guys just get to use it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So she's like, didn't respond anymore after that, which is hilarious.
Well, right. When you give them an answer that they don't want, usually that'll quiet them for a small period before the next question comes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then my youngest daughter, Remy, she's in 10th grade. The last text question I got from her was, do you need anything from Target?
Oh.
And like, I can hear her voice when she says it.
So here's the thing. And I don't know if you figured this out yet, Plum, or not. Because I figured out with Hayden. If Hayden is at, this is my 16-year-old, if she's at the dollar store, or if she's at Walmart, or she's at Target,
okay,
or she's at the grocery store, and she texts me, my husband, do you want anything from fill in the blank with this store?
Okay.
It's double-edged. It's a double-edged sword. Because she's not just asking to be kind and thoughtful. She's notifying me that she's about to buy stuff and that I'm going to pay for it. That's what I've realized.
That's what it is?
100%.
That's hilarious.
It's that she's buying things for herself, you know, obviously using our card.
Right.
And that she wants to know, while I'm here, can I do anything nice for you? Also, you're going to get a charge of $17 for this body scrub. You know? I don't know if I'm the only one that realized that. But what's the last question that your child asked you that made you giggle? 1-800-330-9999. On average, parents get asked 42 questions a day by their kids. What was the last question your child asked you? 1-800-330-9999. Carol?
Well, it wasn't the last question, but I just thought it was a funny question because I was at work and she was home. She was a teenager and she texted me and she said, when you get home, can I get a Mac?
At least she was going to give you until you got home to buy the Mac. Yeah, that makes sense.
She wanted a Mac computer, and I just asked her if she wanted fries with that.
Ah, that's funny. Mark, how about you? Last question your child asked you.
Okay, well, I have a third grader, and she asks a lot of questions also. Mm-hmm. But during the summer, she was playing outside and comes back in inside the house and immediately asks us, do bunnies have rabies?
Uh-oh.
And
uh-oh.
I guess the reason she asks that is because she snuck up behind one of the bunnies that are in the yards all summer and managed to get close enough to actually pet one.
Oh.
And immediately wondered if it had rabies.
Well, I mean, smart for her to figure that out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the lies I've told my daughter, because she's asked for a bunny many, many times.
Lies.
I tell many lies to my kids. It's for their well-being. But this one is always that she always wants a bunny, and I refuse to get a bunny. I grew up with a bunny. It's a long story. And I told her all the bunnies outside are hers, but she has to catch one if she wants to bring it inside.
What's wrong with you?
So for years, she just chases bunnies trying to get them, but she's never gotten close enough to touch one.
Not yet. It's coming, though. Yeah. You're going to have like 900 bunnies at your house here soon.
Rob, what was the last question your child asked you?
He asked if I could help him pay for a couple of online classes that he wants to take.
Oh, so you have an adult son. How old is he?
He is 22 years old.
And what was your answer to that question?
It was, you bet. Of course, he's your kid. And so, yeah. He asked for help even, but I think I paid for the whole thing.
Oh, that's really sweet. What I found, Chef Plum, is that the number one things that my teenage daughter asks me for involve money.
Yeah, it's always money when it comes to teenagers, doesn't it?
Right. I think every one of those 42 questions, if you're looking at my teenagers, has to do with, can you put more money in my account? Can you pay for this? I have to buy a ticket to this. Can you pay for that, right?
And everything costs $500 now. So
or $1,000.
That's right.
Yeah, everything costs $1,000. Thank you so much. Kevin, what was the last question your child asked you?
Well, this one happened just last week. She came back from school, and they had done like a weigh-in, I think, at the school. And so my daughter asked me, how much does mommy weigh?
Wait a minute. Hold on. How old is she?
Well, she's 8.
Oh.
Knew how much she weighed then. She was 52 pounds and came home and we talked about my weight. And then she asked me how much mommy weighs.
And what was your response?
Mommy and I don't talk about that because we love each other and we don't care what each of us weigh.
Well, that's the right answer. Chef Plum, I just texted my husband, Paul, and saying, how much do you think I weigh? How long do you think it will take for him to A, respond, or B, will he never respond, and C, is he going to actually give an answer?
Wow, what a fun game this is. I think he'll respond quickly, but won't answer.
Oh, I see the dots.
Like a generic answer. It'll be like, I'd never even thought about it, or something like that.
No, I see the three dots. Oh, the dots went away. The dots went away, so he's thinking about how to respond to this. At least he's reflecting on that. Okay, good news. My husband has responded. Oh, there's a lot of dots coming in. First, he said 130. Then he said 125, and now I still have three dots that are blinking. As much as the scale says, that's what he wrote as his answer. As much as the scale says, but he guessed 125, 130. I'm surprised that he actually put a number to guess.
You think his price is right here? Like, is that what we're doing? You just throwing numbers out there? $1.
If you would like to come into the studio and we guess how much you weigh, like we're at a carnival, that is available right now. Come on in.
Tell him he's wrong, but he gets the home version to take home.
When were you randomly on TV?
Oh God, I'm sweating. I got to stand up.
You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Chef Plum is yelling at me off the air because he's listening to these clips and he thinks I'm going to make fun of him. Now, here's the truth. Plum has 7 Emmy nominations.
That's true.
He has worked very hard on a wide variety of things over the years. So I pulled some of the clips because some of them... Come on, Plum. These are hilarious.
You got to start somewhere.
Oh, yeah. So he was on Food Network and he was on Chopped.
Chopped Open Your Basket is challenging 4 chefs from around the country to make the perfect pairing by creating an appetizer in 30 minutes that complements pure leaf, not too sweet honey green tea.
I'm making grilled tofu with Gouda mac and cheese.
The winner is Plum.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you won that one. That was a big deal.
It was a real competition, too. It was real.
Yeah. How much did you win for that? Sorry.
It wasn't really I won money because I was getting paid to do it. So $2,500.
Oh, I mean, still.
It was one day. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, made tofu mac and cheese.
Well, so they made me cook in a Southwestern style was the idea here. So,
okay.
But they were like, they really gave me these things. It was like real Chopped. It was
Chopped
crazy.
Chopped was how kind of you started on TV, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then I found this is a TV show on, was it on a Food Network too that I never even heard of?
On ABC. It's called The Taste. There's 3 seasons of it. This was season 1.
Thousands of aspiring kitchenistas from across the country get their shot, but they'll have to prove it to 4 culinary superstars.
Brian Mularkey's style of food is great.
But this taste comes with a twist.
Every tasting we do is blind.
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 I can't believe this show lasted 3 seasons.
Well, it had Anthony Bourdain on it.
I'm about to say, you never told me that you met Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
Until I was digging up this stuff yesterday. I was like, wait a minute. Is that Plum with Anthony Bourdain and he never mentioned that to me?
Yeah. Well, the funny part of the show was everything was supposed to be blind until you actually were on the show and you realized they would say, well, let's see what color his hair is. And I'm like, well, how do they know it's a him?
Right.
Like, it wasn't blind. It was all gimmick.
What? What?
Yeah, it was all gimmick.
Portuguese food and Portuguese wine. I was kind of thrown at how could I make this work? And it came to me. When I have this particular dish with this wine, the flavors kind of marry together and it's quite the dance it has inside of your mouth.
That's when you started hosting things yourself. Hold on, wait. What was that last line that you're trying to get people excited about?
Yeah. It's quite the dance it has inside of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's quite the dance you have
it
inside
is.
Of your mouth.
Okay, so it was Turner Classic Movies. I was doing a thing for their wine club. And I had to link certain movies to certain wines and certain foods. And so that's the best I could come up with. By the way, my first writing and producing and directing credit was this.
Well, I mean, that was quality stuff.
You
dancing in your mouth.
Listen, that was a big thing back in But, 2012.
But this is my favorite because Plum, when he does TV, sometimes just like, because he needs that extra cash and he wants it all that. He's got kids in college and all that. He does infomercials and they're my favorite.
Dull knives can turn tomatoes into tomato soup. Ouch.
As a professional chef, a sharp knife is my most important tool.
Yeah.
Not only do I need it sharpened right away, I need it sharpened
the right way.
The right way.
That knife was garbage.
We all have those moments, that moments where you get to be on TV for a random reason. If you were on a game show, if you were an extra, or you have a story about that time you're on TV, we want to hear it. 1-800-330-9999. Some people go their entire lives and they're never on TV. Not Chef Plum. Chef Plum has been on 7,000 bazillion trazillion shows. If you had a count, how many do you think it would be?
Like appearances or just different shows?
Everything.
I mean, a thousand?
I mean, it's crazy. Everybody has that one story, though, the time that they were on TV. What was yours? 1-800-330-9999. Ernesto.
I was in the audience on one of the last tapings of the Jerry Springer show.
Yeah.
And I got to ask one of the questions at the end of the show.
We were just talking about Jerry Springer. Chef Plum and I have also, in the past, gone to Jerry Springer.
Front row
we sat at Jerry
amazing.
Springer. And it is such an incredible experience, you know, if you ever had to have that. And Jerry Springer is one of the nicest men you ever would meet.
Absolutely.
God rest his soul. And the thing about Jerry Springer was that you didn't see it on TV because they would edit it out. But he would swing and swing with jokes, and 90% of them didn't land.
But when he got one,
it was good.
It was a good joke.
It was really good for anybody in like the comedy business to see how hard he was working out there. Actually, Chef Plum, Chef Plum's daughter is in college, and she had interviewed me a couple months back.
Yeah, thanks for that, by the way.
Yeah, and I was talking about Jerry Springer and how his comedic timing and all that, and she didn't know who Jerry Springer was.
No clue.
She had no clue. I asked my teenage daughter, Hayden, and she also had no idea.
No clue.
That hurt my heart a little. Also, why isn't that on TikTok? That should be on TikTok by now.
Surely.
One time, I was on Ricky Lake, and I was outspoken audience
Ricky
member.
Ricky Lake!
I was on Ricky Lake. And I asked the woman, I was like, how can you do that and put your child's life in jeopardy? I don't remember what was happening.
Yeah.
And she said, I ain't never been on Jeopardy. That was what she answered.
That's amazing.
I know.
That's amazing.
Yep. Erica, how about you? When were you on TV?
So I used to live in Florida, and this was like, I'm trying to think how long ago. Maybe it was 5 years ago or something. I don't remember. Whenever Hurricane Irma was, I was evacuating and stopped at a gas station. And they had a news crew there who was trying to talk to people who were evacuating and, like, interview them. So I just go in the gas station, come out, hey, you want to be on TV? And I was like, I guess. And they just, like, asked me a few questions, like, where are you going? What's your plan? Or whatever. Just standing out there in, like, the wind whipping around dramatically.
That's always my favorite footage when you see the people getting stopped at the gas station in the middle of a storm.
Like hurricane storms and they're like getting gas. What are you doing out here? I mean, what do you think they're doing out here? Like, this is the most crazy question ever.
Tanya, how about you? When were you on TV?
Well, I've actually been an extra on several things. But the first one that I did, it was on a series called The Resident. And I was standing in the hospital and the camera was going by. And I'm like, man, I know I got steam. And I was super excited for the footage to come out. And then I saw it, and all you saw was my bun and a red blur of a sweater. But I knew it was me. So I pointed it out to everybody. And they were like, oh, yeah, that is you. I can see it if I turn my head and squint to the side. And I'm like, but you know what? Close enough.
Congratulations. Being an extra, first of all, is nowhere near as glamorous as you think it's going to be. That is.
Oh, no.
No. It's like waiting around all day, and then you shoot, and then you watch it, and you have your fingers crossed, and you can't wait, and then you're not even in the shot. Always.
Mm-hmm. Right. Always. The snacks were great, so a little bit of a win.
Yeah, they give you lunch, so that works out.
Anna, you've been an extra, haven't you?
I was on Law & Order. Remember, I was girl eating hot dog on New York City Street on Law & Order.
That's the longest title for an extra I've ever heard.
Oh, I gave it to myself. do you think they actually gave me that title?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, it was fantastic. And I'll never forget it because I had to pretend to eat the hot dog like 700 times and it was so cold. And I had so many bites of cold hot
dog. Do you like hot dogs?
Yeah, I love hot dogs.
All right.
Yeah, it was all right.
You didn't have any lines, though, did you?
No.
No. No. All right.
I also wanted to be dead girl, but they picked somebody else for that. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is brought to you by IHOP. Go to your happy place with the $6 IHOP value menu. Available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. Violet and Darren. Violet, why is Darren so mad at you?
I don't think he should be so mad at me, but he says that I'm constantly on my phone when we're watching TV together. Like, there's a few shows that we save to, like, make sure we watch them together. And, like, sometimes I'm on my phone just, like, answering work emails or, you know, scrolling social media or whatever while we're watching. And he thinks it's rude because he's calling that, like, our date. But, like, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's not a date. We're at home watching TV. I'm watching. Just sometimes I need to get caught up on work emails and, I mean, I can scroll and watch at the same time. It's not that big of a deal.
Darren, how do you feel about this?
I do think it's kind of rude. It is kind of our thing that we get together to watch the show. You know, she's. I look over and she's scrolling, and it's like, you're missing the show. And she's acting like she can see that, but then we've got to rewind sometimes and things like that. So it's like, you're not really watching the show. So I just, that's kind of my thing. It's like, you're on there, you're scrolling, whether it's work or whatever. Let's get that all done beforehand and then watch your show. Or just tell me to pause it. If it's a work thing, I totally get it. Just have me pause it. But she'll be like, no, just keep going. I'm watching. But she's not really watching.
Why does it bother you so much? Is it because I would be aggravated if my husband said, hold on, can we go back and watch that last 5 minutes again? That would upset me. But is that the problem? Or is it more that you just want her to be doing it with you and it's what you guys do together?
Yeah, I think it's more about I was hoping it would be kind of our thing. To me, it is a little date night, even though it is home. It is kind of fun that we're doing something together. I do like that. And if we were on an actual date night and I took her to Applebee's and then we're across from each other and she's on the phone as I'm talking, but even though she's still there, she's not invested. There we go. I like that word. She doesn't seem invested in the show.
Chef Plum, do you have this issue at home with your wife, Kelly?
Are we not going to address the date night to Applebee's?
Applebee's can be a great date night. Anyway.
Any Tizers, right? We love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if you're watching a show, you shouldn't be on the phone. Like, that's the whole point. Pay attention to the show, because if you go, it's like when you go to a movie and my wife constantly goes, wait, what happened? Wait, what's going on? But I get it. Her brain's all over the place. We have daughters.
I mean, Violet, is this such a big deal for you? Or do you think he's just overreacting?
I think he's overreacting. Okay. I think a lot of people do this, and it's just not worth getting upset over.
It brings up a valid point. Do you think it's rude if your significant other is on their phone when you're watching TV? I think most people would say if you're at the dinner table or you're out to dinner or you're doing something that's one thing. But I could understand where this is a little bit of a gray area. Why don't we see what the audience has to say? Is it so bad to be on your phone if you're watching TV with your significant other? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Is it such a big deal if you are watching something on TV with your spouse and they're scrolling on their phone? Do you think that's a big deal if they're answering emails and playing their games and half paying attention? Does it matter? Does it make you upset?
I mean, how important is it? That's the question I have. If you're looking at something very, very important, then okay, it makes sense. But maybe not the whole time. I don't know.
So that's exactly what's going on with Violet and Darren. Darren is so upset at Violet, saying, yeah, we sit down and watch TV. This is our date. And meanwhile, you're answering emails. You're asking to rewind 5 minutes. You're not paying attention. And Violet just doesn't think it's a big deal at all. She says, who cares? We're home on the couch. Like, if I'm on my phone, I'm on my phone. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Jim, whose side are you on?
I think it is kind of rude. I think that maybe he should just not watch with her. If she's more interested in her phone than spending, you know, time with him and conversing and that kind of thing. I mean, maybe he should just go out. Just go out. Instead of watching films, just go somewhere.
Just leave, like, sit down to watch a show and just leave. That's hilarious. I love that.
Spend time with someone that wants to be with you, and I think it's very rude. So I'm with him.
Thanks, Jim. I mean, he's just like, leave. Just like, get up in the middle of the show and just walk out the door and go hang out with somebody else.
I feel like Jim was sitting there with his wife currently, and he was like, yeah, you should just leave.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999.
Whose side are you on? It's a Couples Court. Is this such a big deal if you are watching TV with your significant other and they're constantly on their phone?
I mean, we're so connected now. Everybody has their phone in their hands all the time.
Right. And Darren says it's absolutely obnoxious that his wife Violet does this, that when they have their nights that they're watching their shows and watching their movies, she's got her head buried in her phone, responding to emails, playing games, scrolling. But she seems to think it's no big deal and everybody does this.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, you know, you have kids in college who are texting or need something, or, you know, the family needs something. I see both sides of it.
But what do you think? The couple's court verdict is brought to you by AT&T, a network that is making connections for Americans. Connecting changes everything. Learn more at att.com. 1-800-330-9999. Kevin, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm on the guy's side. I have the same issue at home. My fiance on her phone, and I have to rewind it, or she doesn't know what's going on. I said I always have to rewind the TV or tell her what's going on. So it can be frustrating.
I mean, it's definitely frustrating. I can see that. Karen, what do you think?
I am totally on his side. I go through this with my husband. We'll sit down. He's like, oh, want to watch a movie tonight? I'm like, sounds good. And then he's got his phone in his hand. It was playing Candy Crush all the time, which I wanted to throw the phone out the window.
Hmm.
And he's like, no, now I'm just like looking at my emails. I'm like, you asked me to watch a movie. This is our time together just to relax, watch a movie. I'll make a little dessert on a weekend night or whatever. You know, we'll have a glass of wine. And I'm like, you're not paying attention to the show. And he's like, I can do both. I'm like, no, that's not the point. The point is we wanted to watch a movie together. It's our time. You know, I just think it's very rude.
Plum, do you have any idea that so many people deal with this at home?
I had no idea. It's really coming out of the woodwork here.
Yeah, Mike, whose side are you on?
Totally agree with the husband. It comes down to the fact of that she is diverting her attention away from the togetherness of it all. He's watching the show with her, but if she's looking at her phone, she's not giving him all of her. That's what he wants. He wants to watch Jeopardy with her. Put the phone down.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Darren, our audience agreed with you. Violet, your husband is saying that he wants his time with your full attention. So if your full attention is on your phone and not watching the show and reacting to it, then his feelings are hurt. So maybe just putting the phone down and saying that's the time that you guys are together is the way to go.
Okay. I mean, we talked before this and we said whichever way it went, you know, we'd agree to. So I still think it's a little silly, but okay, I'll do it. I'll put the phone down.
And Darren, are you going to be good with that?
Yes. Thank you very much, everybody. Vi, I still love you.
All right, there we go. Nice and easy. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Two hosts, multiple clues, only one right answer. It's time to play Heads Up with Anna and Raven.
Heads Up is presented by T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Irma.
Hey, Irma. So Raven is out recovering from surgery. He's doing well, thankfully. So that means Can't Beat Raven is going to be on hiatus until he returns, hopefully in about a week and a half. And we're going to be playing Heads Up for Target gift cards so you can start your holiday shopping. How's that sound?
That would be amazing. Thank you.
All right, Irma. Here's how it works. Chef Plum is going to give you all the clues. He has gotten better at this game in time, I will
say
that.
Wait a minute, I'm a champion at this game. What are you talking about? Irma, don't listen to her. I am the best player of this game
ever. I won't listen.
All right, so here we go. You're going to have an option. You have to get, we'll make it easy, 5 out of 10. 5 out of 10 in 60 seconds. You have an option on what category. We're going to do types of pie, and what's the other one?
Classic TV movies that you would watch. Classic TV shows or movies you'd watch during Thanksgiving.
During Thanksgiving. All right, so classic TV movies during Thanksgiving or types of pie. Which would you like?
I guess I'll take the pies.
All right. Sounds good. We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock. Plum, you let me know when you're ready. Remember, just keep guessing, okay?
How many does she have to get?
She has to get 5 out of 10. It's literally so easy.
Yeah, it's so easy. And we have 1 minute.
You have 60 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
On your mark, get set, go.
All right, Irma, this doesn't fall that far from the tree is the saying.
It's apple.
Perfect. This is also a kind of a fall squash used during Halloween time as
pumpkin.
Well.
Hey,
you got it.
Pumpkin pie?
Yes.
You got it. This is a type of dish that you make French fries out of sometimes, but it can be not savory. It could be it's orange. It's orange. You cut it up. You can bake it off. Some people put cinnamon and sugar in it, butter.
Cinnamon, orange.
You bake a pie. Let's move on. This is a small nut that sometimes can be pronounced different ways. It has like a molasses in it, brown sugar.
Pecan. You got it.
Yes, come on.
Next one's going to be, it's a small fruit that grows on a tree that has a little seed on the inside. They're red, and you can
10 seconds.
Make...
berry.
Yes.
That's right.
Four, go.
Last one, it grows on a bush. It's very, very small. There are also types of berries. They can be baked into a pie.
Blueberry.
Oh, my gosh. You're not even going to believe this. It was 59.98.
Let's go.
59.98.
Oh, my God.
Let's go. Irma, how did you not get sweet potato?
Sweet potato pie. That was a tough one.
I don't know. Yeah. And you know, I love sweet potatoes. I have no idea how I didn't get that.
The pressure was too much.
And also, I don't want to do criticism, but you know how I like to check you?
Oh, here we go.
You didn't talk fast enough. You have to talk faster.
I'm trying to be clear.
Yeah, but you have to talk fast. You have to go like,
I think Irma would disagree. You know why? Right. Because she won.
All right. Well, congratulations, Irma. You just won this Target gift card so you can start your holiday shopping.
Thank you.
All right. Hold on the line, and you're going to have chances to win all up the next week and a half.
Will do. Thank you so much.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.